So today I wanted to bring a lesson of hope. I know in these days that we're going through right now, hope is far and few between. We don't see a whole lot of hope, especially conveyed on the screen that we watch, on even to the people we talk to anymore. There's not a whole lot of hope. You know, everybody's paying so much for gas. Everybody's worried about the sickness, inflation. I mean, every time you look, there's something that's trying to drag us down, right? And we know that's not what God wants from us. We have a different hope, not a hope of the world. We have the hope of our Lord and Savior Christ that He's given us. So I went through, I got some surveys coming up. I looked on the internet and I was thinking, yeah, these are great surveys, Rhett. But then I found this slide. So all I can say is, don't believe everything. That's what Abe said, so Abe never lied. So don't believe everything on the internet. So, but these surveys make sense, and I thought they would be good for like today's world that we're going through. And you kind of see a pattern. We see a pattern of humans leaning more on ourselves and our own understanding, our own comforts, than what God has given us. We forget what God has given us. He's given us a hope that's imperishable, that'll never go away if we stay with it, if we lean on it. So we're going to start in 1 Peter 1, 3 through 9. I'm going to the ESV, so you have to, if you have the New American, it's going to be a little bit different, but not much. Pretty close. Blessed be God the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. According to His mercy, He has caused us to be born again, a living hope, through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. So living hope. We've been born again. We all know when we're born again, right? We're all born again when we submit our lives to Christ. We confess Him as our Lord and Savior, and we are baptized. That's when the old man is put to death, when the new man is born. That's when we find this living hope. It's a living hope. I think that's pretty cool. It's a living hope. It's with us every day. It's as long as we're alive, we have this living hope. When we die, we have the eternal hope. It's with us. It never leaves us. To an inheritance that is imperishable, undefiled, and unfading, kept for you in heaven. Is there anything on this earth that can come anywhere near this? Do you know anything in your life that is imperishable, undefiled, and unfading? Do you know anything that you can say that's in this world that's like that? I don't know anything like that. Everything, 2 years ago, we found everything that we thought was not going to change, changed immediately and drastically. Just changed overnight. This living hope never changes. Never changes. It's because the person it's grounded in never changes. Who by God's power are being guarded through faith for a salvation ready to be revealed in the last time. So this hope that we got is being guarded by who? Being guarded by God. If God is guarding something, I can guarantee it's not going away. Now on earth, we guard our stuff, right? We guard our jobs, our wealth, our house, our family, and everything like that. But there's no guarantee that that isn't going to go away, even though we're guarding it, giving it all we got to guard it. We can have the greatest house, the greatest security, that could all go away tomorrow. This will never go away. And sometimes I pray for it to come quicker than you know. We're supposed to urge it on. We're supposed to urge the coming of the Lord on. And the faster the better. The faster the better. But it's never going to change because God is guarding this. In this you rejoice, though for now a little while, if necessary, you have been grieved by various trials. So we know that Peter's talking about the first century, people that he's writing to, that they're going through trials, they're going through persecutions, they're going through jailings, they're going through all this stuff. We're going through persecutions now here too. People don't realize it probably. Probably maybe not quite as severe as they went through, so it's not quite as obvious as what they're going through. But in the last couple of years, we went through a lot of trials, and we're still going through those trials. But we still have this hope, right? This hope hasn't changed since the world has changed. It hasn't changed at all. It's still there, still the same, because God is guarding it. So that the testing of genuineness of your faith, more precious than gold that perishes though is tested by fire, may be found a result of praise and glory and honor at the revelation of Jesus Christ. So all the stuff that we're going through is supposed to refine us. Supposed to refine us to be better Christians, better people, better neighbors, better husbands, better wives, better kids, better everything. It's supposed to refine us. Why? for the glory and honor of at the revelation of Christ. We're glory and honoring God in everything we do. And it's supposed to refine us to give Him even more glory. Though you have not seen Him, you love Him. Though you do not now see Him, you believe in Him and rejoice with joy that is inexpressible and filled with glory. I have people ask me all the time, what is this? Why are you happy? Why don't you worry about all this stuff that's going on? Christ has got me. God's got me. Well, explain it. I can't explain it. It's so hard to explain this joy and this peace that you have when you have this living hope. It's just so hard to explain it. But it's never going to be taken away. It's never going to change. And it's always going to be there no matter what happens in my life. So how can't I be happy? But to explain it, it's a different... And Peter says it's going to be hard to explain this. It's going to be hard to explain it. Inexpressible. Obtaining the outcome of your faith is salvation of your souls. And that's what this living hope is, right? Our living hope is we know when we die, Christ's sacrifice was enough. He paid the price for us. It's going to wash our sins away. We're going to be saved. We're going to be with God in the end forever. That's that living hope that we have no matter what. I always like to think of Paul, you know. He's going through all this stuff, but he knew he had to keep his eye on the prize. And we're going to go through that here in a little bit. So this is one of the surveys. I don't know if you can read it very good, so I will read it for you. This was 5,000 people that they surveyed. And it's kind of cool. They got in parentheses what some of them that were in 2019 before COVID hit, where they ranked. So top 10 fears. Number one is corrupt government officials. I don't think I'm fearful of it. I think I'm kind of disgusted more than I am fearful of it. But number one is government officials. Number two is people I love dying. That was number five before COVID. A loved one contracting the coronavirus is number three. People I love becoming seriously ill. Widespread civil unrest. A pandemic or major epidemic. Economic, financial collapse. Cyber terrorism. Pollution. And biological warfare. There's pretty big percentages of these. Each person, we're talking 80% to the top one, still 50% for the bottom one. People have these fears. And most of them are very afraid of these. I kind of wonder why. Why are we so afraid of death, of government officials doing something, of pollution? Why are we so afraid of this? I see the people that are so caught up in this and so fearful, they don't have that hope. They don't have a vision of something better. Right? If you had a vision of something better and you see something bad happen, but you knew something better was down the road, maybe this fear won't be quite as bad as it is, right? We have to grab onto this living hope that we've been promised and ride out these tough things, but ride them out with the living hope, with a good attitude, with a positive attitude. Because when we get something, if we see all these bad things happening, we should say, man, we need to save as many souls as we possibly can as fast as we can save them. Because all these bad things are happening. We don't want people perishing, not only from physical things, but spiritual things. So the living hope, we need to really lean on that and really spread that. Show people what the living hope is. And that's Christ, right? Christ is supposed to be shining through our lives, through our actions. And He can't if we don't have the living hope and we're not joyous about it. And we're not ready to go out and share that news. Christ has got us, man. Just these things we can be concerned about, but let's not get them to the point where they're actually clamping down on our hope. They're squeezing out that hope, and all we see is dread. That's not what Christ wants from us. He wants us to see these things, be concerned, go save people. We are the people that are supposed to go out and help save people. Not the people to get dogged down in all these fears. We can't. Philippians 1, 18 through 30. What then, only in that every way, whether in pretense or in truth, Christ is proclaimed, and that I rejoice. Yes, I will rejoice. For I know that through the prayer, through your prayers, and the help of the Spirit of Jesus Christ, this will turn out for my deliverance. So we're talking about Paul, right? As it is eager expectation and hope that I will not be ashamed, But then, full courage now, as always, Christ will be honored in my body, whether life or by death. So that means no matter if I'm seeing all these dangers, all these fears, I'm still going to honor Christ in my body and what I do. No matter what. For me, to live is Christ, and to die is gain. He knew what was coming, but he knew who had him no matter what happened to him. He had that hope. If I am to live in the flesh, that means fruitful labor for me. Yet which I shall choose, I cannot tell. I am hard pressed between the two. My desire is to depart and be with Christ, for that is far better. So he knew he had labor to do. He knew he had souls to win. He knew he had the word to spread, the churches to build up. All this stuff he knew he had to do. But yet he knew it was better for him to die and go to be with Christ. Because that is where we belong. We belong in heaven with Christ. That is our home. This is our temporary dwelling, right? That's what a lot of people always say. This is just a temporary dwelling. But yet we try to grab onto it and hold onto it so hard, we forget our hope. We forget what we're actually fighting for. We're fighting for eternity. We're fighting for other souls to find that eternity. We're not supposed to grab onto this life because like it's all we got, because it isn't. This is just temporary. And that's what Paul understood. But to remain in the flesh is more necessary on your account. So Paul said, I'm going to stay around because I've got to build these people up. I've got to spread the word. I got to get them ready for the day when I'm not here. Because it's coming. And it's coming soon. Are we doing that here? I see this as very good instructions for the local church. We've got to make sure that these young people are ready. Because we don't know how long we're going to be here to train them. It's just like Paul said, I got to get these guys trained. Because he knew his departure was soon. Our departure isn't that far down the road. No matter if you're 20 or if you're 80, it's not that far down the road. It's not in the big scheme of things, that's just a blip of time. But we got to make sure our young ones are ready. We got to make sure they're trained. We got to make sure they're ready when we leave. Convinced of this, I know I will remain and continue with you all for the progress of the joy in the faith, so that in me you may have ample cause to glorify Jesus Christ because of my coming to you again. Only let the manner of your life be worthy of the gospel of Christ, so that whether I come and see you or I am absent, I may hear that you are standing firm in one spirit, with one mind, striving side by side in the faith of the gospel. Do you think it would be easier to have this joy, this solid foundation, if we all just worked together side by side and pushed together? I don't know if you guys have ever pushed a car that's been broke down. But if you got one guy pushing the front, one guy pushing the side, one guy pushing the back of the front, it's not going to go anywhere, is it? If we all get behind and push together, we're going to get something done. We're going to move it. And I think that's kind of what he's saying here. Work together. Have this joy and work together. Because I'm going to be gone. You guys better have it. And not be frightened by anything by your opponents. Don't be frightened by whatever the world throws at us. Because God is much greater than anything anybody can throw against us. This is a clear sign for them of their destruction, but of your salvation that is from God. For it has been granted to you for the sake of Christ that you should not only believe in him, but also suffer for his sake. Engage in the same conflict that I saw, that you saw I had, and now hear that I still have. We have to have a mindset that we're going to suffer we're going to suffer. If we're going to follow Christ, we're going to suffer, right? But this hope that we have overrides that suffering. I can just imagine all the martyrs that has helped keep this Bible for us. What was their goal in martyring themselves, helping martyr themselves? They could easily back down, right? Most of the times they would say, don't confess, you know, shame Christ, don't confess him, and we'll let you live. They said, I'm not doing that. Christ is my Lord Savior, and whap, their head came off. How could somebody have that? How could somebody have that confidence? Because they had that true hope. They knew what Christ has done for them. They stood on it, firm. He will save me. If I am faithful to him, he will save me. No ifs, ands, or buts about it. I have heard a lot of people say, how can you be confident in your salvation? How can't you be confident in your salvation? Christ died on the cross. He's promised, if you follow me, I will save you. He paid the price. He did the work. He asked all of us to follow him. That's all he asks. And if you don't believe him, it's going to be hard to have confidence. If you believe his words, you can stand on it with confidence. It will happen. And Paul is a perfect example of it. He knew it. He stood on it. And that's what we're coming through right now. 2 Timothy 4. This is what this true hope can give you. Exactly what he's saying right here. I charge you in the presence of God and Jesus Christ, who is the judge of the living and the dead, and by the appearing of his kingdom. Preach the word, be ready in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort, with a complete patience and teaching. Now, he's talking to Timothy, which is a preacher. He's building him up, telling him what to do. In a way, this is instructions for all of us too. You don't have to be a preacher to be doing these things. This is part of our evangelism that we must do. We're commanded to do this. We have to be ready to do all this stuff too. None of this stuff is just for the preacher only. This stuff is for everybody. For the time is coming when people will not endure sound teaching, will have itchy ears, and will accumulate for themselves teachers to suit their own passions. We don't see that any more better than today. People are going to go find what they want to hear, and they're going to stay with it. If they want the homosexual lifestyle, they're going to find somebody that preaches it, and they're going to stay with them. If they want to find somebody that's going to preach hell and damnation and you better be saved, you're going to have half-empty pews because that's not the feel-good message. It's the right message. If you don't follow him, you're going to go to hell. I mean, that's the right message. But today is really, we're finding out a lot of different teachers teaching. We just did this in the youth class, and their eyes were opened what some people are preaching today. It's crazy what some people are preaching today, but they find people that want to hear that, and people just stay with them. And will turn away from listening to the truth and wander off into myths. The truth is the truth, and we got to stay with the truth no matter how much it hurts. As for you, always be sober-minded, endure suffering, do the work of an evangelist, fulfill your ministry. And again, I think all of them, except for maybe the evangelist, but we are supposed to be evangelizing, so you don't have the title, but you're doing that work. You're supposed to be out evangelizing, helping people find this hope that we are supposed to have within us. For I am ready to be poured out as a drink offering, and the time of my departure has come. Paul knew it was time to leave. Paul knew it was time for his departure. How many of us would be very positive writing a letter when we knew our death was right around the corner? How many people would be uplifting a young preacher, say, do these things, be positive, do all these things, hold on to them tight. Oh yeah, I'm about ready to die. Why? How could anybody do that? Because I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Why? Henceforth, there is laid for me up a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award me on that day. And not only to me, but all who has loved his appearing. That's why he could do that. That's why. He knew where his hope lied. His hope was not laying in him. His hope was not laying anything on earth. His hope was in heaven. And he knew the quicker he died, as we saw before, the quicker he was going to be with Christ. And that's where he wanted to be. He knew he had work on earth to do, so he was going to do it until he was called. But he was ready to go. Whenever Christ called him up, he was ready to go. And he was eager for it. Because he had that living hope. So I got these facts from USA Facts, so they got to be right. 53% of Americans said they experienced not being able to stop or control worrying. And that was this last past year. At least several days during the week compared to 47%. So some people worry so much they can't even operate. You know, I've seen people like that. I've seen people so worried about everything they can't operate. It's just that's all they think about. That's all they talk about. And that controls their whole lives. Regarding depression, about 48% of the respondents felt they felt down, depressed, or hopeless for several days in the previous week, up 3 percentage points. About 19% of these feelings had the majority of the days. So not just a couple days, the majority of the days they felt like this. And I always want to point out that one word, it's hopeless. We're not to be hopeless. We have a hope. If you're feeling depressed and everything, don't forget your hope. Your hope is laid on something that won't change. It's solid. It's there for you. That's what we lean upon. We lean upon God, right? He's a solid rock that won't change. That's where our hope is. That is our hope. It ain't going to change. So if we're feeling depressed and always worried and hopeless all the time, we need to refocus ourselves. We're too focused on earthly things. We need to start focusing on heavenly things. That's when we get screwed up as humans. We're not focused on the right thing. Romans 15:13. May the hope of God fill you with all joy and peace in believing, so that the power of the Holy Spirit may abound in hope. That one verse says a lot. So if we're believing in Christ and we're living with God and we're doing what we need to do, we're going to have a joy and we're going to have a peace. And it's going to abound in hope because it's leaning on God. So when we're feeling hopeless, when we're feeling anxious about everything, we need to refocus. We need to refocus on God and what He wants from us and what He's given us. He's given us so much. He's given us new lives in Christ, right? My life before Christ was not the greatest. I probably had more friends that I thought were friends. But when I got saved, I realized that them friends weren't really friends. They were just beer drinking buddies. And I had to change. I had to get a new group of friends. And the friends became brothers. And that is so much greater because we all share that living hope that Christ has given us. And we got to lean upon that hope. Especially in today's world. Ephesians 2, 5, or 5, 2. And we walk in love as Christ loved us and gave Himself up for us in a fragrant offering and a sacrifice to God. So if we have this hope, we're going to be living in love. And I tell you what, if we're walking in love, we're not going to be depressed all the time. We're not going to be worried all the time. We're going to be looking out for one another's best interest before our own. And if when we start focusing on others and focusing on God and not ourselves, we stop. The worries go away. The peace comes in because Christ was a servant. He came to serve. He gave us the perfect person to follow, and that's a servant. So when we start serving others, we start feeling this peace. We start feeling this because we're living like our living hope told us to, and our living hope is Christ. Philippians 4:4-7. Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say rejoice. How many people think if we are rejoicing, we are happy, we are praising God, how many people think you can be worried and anxious and sad all at the same time? It's almost impossible. If we're rejoicing what God has given us and we're so thankful for what He's done for us, the worries are going to go away because we can always have it a lot worse than what we got it right now. We've got Christ. We couldn't have it any better. No matter if we're poor, no matter if we lose our job, no matter if we lose our health, we've got Christ. He does not move. He's our Savior. Let your reasonableness be known to everyone. The Lord is at hand. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be known to God. Now, we went over this in the adult class last quarter. Being anxious isn't a sin. What we do with that will make it either good or bad. If we're anxious and we give it to God, that's the way we need to go. That'll give us peace. If we're anxious and we try to take it over, then we're going to start worrying about it. It could even make us sick to the point of just absolutely you can't do anything. You're just bogged up with everything. So being anxious, I want to make that clear, is not a sin. It's what we do with it will make it good or bad. We're not supposed to be anxious, but if we are, figure out what you're going to do with it. Take it to God. That will make it okay. That will take that worry away. And the peace of God, which surpasses all of our understanding, will guard our hearts and our minds in Christ Jesus. Again, all the stuff that we're doing, the salvation, this peace, this happiness, I don't understand it all. I know how it feels. I know He's got it, but to explain it, it's a different story. It's just beyond our understanding. So that is my short lesson today. We need hope. We need to realize, though, hope is based on God. If we have the true hope, the living hope, based on God and Christ has done for us, we're going to be okay. When we have hope upon this world and the things that we got in this world, especially we've learned in the last couple of years, it's going to crash and it's going to burn. So we got to have the hope when these things on earth crash and burn. It's, oh, but I still got Christ. He's got me no matter what. We saw Paul, right? We saw Paul. He knew he was going to be executed. He knew he was going to be, he was done. He had no chance because he knew this. But he was still rejoicing because, I've fought the fight. I've ran the race. I'm done. Now it's time for my prize because God has promised us that prize. That's the kind of hope. That's the kind of peace that we need to have in this world. Because this world is getting crazier and crazier by the minute. And morals are going bye-bye. The fear of everything is creeping in. If we let that happen, our living hope is going to be gone. And all of a sudden, you're going to look back one day, you're going to go, you know, where did my religious life go? Because it's gone. We don't want to get to that point. We want to get to the point where we see these things creep in. We go, okay, God, this has got to stop. I got to give it to you. I can't do this. I can't be anxious. I can't be worried about everything in this world. You can take care of it. I can't. Once we get to that point, we're in a place where we need to be. We're humble. We realize Christ is much more powerful than we are. God is much more powerful than we are because we can't handle it. I don't know if anybody tried to handle this COVID thing on their own. It doesn't work very well. A lot of people have had anxiety issues, have depression issues. We learned today in a teen class that suicide has skyrocketed. Absolutely skyrocketed. Church attendance has fallen off hard. People have lost their way. And people have a lack of hope. That's because they weren't grounded on something that wasn't going to change. And that is God. So my message to you is lean on Him. If something comes up, lean on Him. Lean on your brothers and sisters here too. That's what we're here for. God made a church for us to lean on. That's one of the main reasons He made a church is for us to be together, to have support when we need support. So lean upon one another. Lean upon God. If you have anxiety issues, depression, or you're worried all the time, you got to learn how to give it to God. You have to, or else it's going to tear you apart. So that is my speech for the day, I guess. And I'm learning myself, too. I'm learning how to do this myself, too. It's just not something you can do overnight. It's something you got to learn how to do. But we got to trust Him more and more each day.